This is HM correspondent Erica Delaney Diggs, and I am speaking with Perry Jungilis of the Damien Center. He is the executive director. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
That's beautiful. Now, can you tell me, why did the original center burn down? How did that happen?
So I got the call at 6 a.m, and there's nothing like driving and watching smoke billowing down Madison Avenue. We'll never know what caused the fire. It started about 5 a.m. It was either electrical or a faulty freezer, or potentially they said it might have been a fan that was in the window. The place, unfortunately, we lost everything in a matter of hours. And so we moved quickly. In fact, that morning I said to people, go over to the First Lutheran Church, tell Pastor Ellie, we just need to camp here for now, because I didn't want people, you know, watching the building burn. So we served lunch that day to people. And while the center was still burning at the First Lutheran Church, we served lunch, and we were there for the next 4 years. We occupied their vacant second floor, did a lot of renovations with it. And during that time, we decided that we were going to get into housing. At the time, at 12 South Lake Avenue, we didn't have housing. And so routinely, I would watch people leave at 8 o'clock at night. And if they didn't come with me when I was bringing them down to the mission for the night, I knew that they were just taking a lap around the block, and they were winding up in our backyard or on our porch to sleep for the night. And so, recognizing that there were so many people who are homeless who are living with AIDS, we decided to build a center that had apartments for persons who were homeless and living with HIV. So 4 years later, in 2017, we moved into our brand new $5.2 million building, 26,000 square feet, that has 20 apartments and also has a lot of great other services and rooms for other services, a full service pharmacy. We have a gym, we have a computer room, we have a state-of-the-art kitchen that is really pumps out some incredible home-cooked meals. We make everything from scratch right here at the Damien Center, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, you know, after the fire, we had relatively no money. I mean, the insurance settlement, I think, was like $400,000, which was not going to be enough to build this, but we got a lot of incredible support from the state of New York, but also the community said, you're not done. You know, this fire is not going to define you, and we're going to help you get back on your feet. And we worked really hard, the community, the staff at the Damien Center, the board. And we've been here now, we're going into our fourth year in this new location. So it was interesting when COVID hit, you know, all of a sudden we were like, whoa, you know, like everyone else. But, you know, someone said to me, they said, gosh, you survived a fire. You're gonna be able to battle this. I'm like, you're right. We are resilient bunch. And so I made a promise to everyone. They said, you know, we're going to get through this. And I said, my main objective is that none of you contract COVID and that none of you die. Because we saw that the evidence was showing that if someone with HIV or AIDS contracts COVID, they were going to die at a much higher rate than the general population. So for us, COVID was, and still is, extremely real. It's not just getting the flu to us. For us, it is a potential death sentence all over again, kind of like we were back in 1988. So we've done really well with keeping people safe. Again, I think there's some luck thrown into it, but also a lot of hard work that people are still getting their meals. They're still getting support. They're still getting their paws, pet food for their pets, but also making sure that they're being kept safe. And now we just recently have been vaccinating people. So we had a pop-up clinic where we were able to vaccinate 36 people. So we're going to continue to work to get everyone vaccinated and hoping that we can, like everyone else, eventually go to some semblance of normal with bringing people back together. I think that's something, right, we're all so looking forward to is, you know, a part of the Damien Center is social. It's about being with each other. It's about checking in and just seeing, how are you, you know? And if your day sucks, that's fine. Tell me how your day sucks. It's, you know, well, we're not going to tell you it's all rosy. You know, some things just are really hard. you know, but maybe you don't have to go through that alone.
What did COVID do to your business? How did it affect your organization, and how did you guys overcome it so far?
That it bore many resemblances to HIV in a lot of ways and what we had been through in the past. So a lot of people that we work with, including myself, really felt some sort of deja vu with this. Here we have a virus, you know, or, you know, that you don't know much about. It's killing people. How do you stay away from it? The news is all over the place. It felt like HIV back in the 80s. You know, you didn't know a lot. There wasn't a treatment. So what we said was, you know, we're going to lock down right away. So we converted all of our services to either parking lot, pick up and to go, or delivery. We delivered things to people's homes. We also got on the phone and we called people on a regular basis. So acting quick like that, then we also, for the majority of staff was transitioned to home. So in that way, I'm glad we acted quick, and I'm glad that, because we have 20 apartments here that are, you know, pretty close together. And so we had to put some new rules, you know, involved with, you know, what people couldn't do with, you know, having visitors come in and things. I mean, it was all in the objective of keeping people safe. I kept saying to people, you know, I'm not crazy about these rules either, but I want to keep you alive. And I said, you know, this is just as imperative as it was back in the 80s when we were all dying. I said, we've got to figure out a way through this. So I think some of our experience with AIDS helped us, because, like I say, we've kind of been through this once before, you know. It certainly brought up some traumas, you know. People were just like, oh man, again, you know. But also in a lot of ways it was different, because this was affecting everybody. Back then it was only affecting certain people, you know. So that was also, you know, but the similarities to, I think, HIV are still striking, you know. Having our Black and Brown communities not have equal access to the COVID vaccine, as well as not having good outcomes from COVID, is very similar to HIV. Our Black and Brown communities don't have the best access to the medications and to treatment traditionally, and also suffer worse complications. And so, you know, these are the things, again, we said with COVID, this cannot happen. We need to be able to help everybody and really reach to be able to make sure that every single person is being served. Financially, it was really hard, because all of a sudden, everything, the state grants, the budgets, I mean, everything got thrown up into the air. I've been here 22 years. I never experienced a year where there was so much uncertainty with our funding of how I was going to pay for anything. And so that was also, that's been really hard. And we were expected to do more. You know, we have our normal work that we're doing, making the meals, making sure people have support, you know, making sure that the apartments are all, you know, in great shape and working. Then on top of it, we've got to keep everybody safe. We've got to get all the, you know, PPE out. We have to be able to make sure that we're following a COVID plan. If someone tests positive, we've got to do cleaning procedures. So all of a sudden there was all this extra work, but no extra money to do it. And so our staff truly, and our volunteers and our board of directors, they're rock stars. I mean, the way they came together and said, let's get it done. Let's help people. Let's continue helping people. We're not just going to stay home. And I love seeing how some people were bored at home, you know, during the COVID. I was like, oh man, I don't know what that was like. Because we were working, you know, our 50-hour work weeks were going into, you know, 60, 70-hour work weeks, trying to get everything done. But again, grateful that, you know, the community was still there for us, you know, still sending in donations, which has been, I just can't even begin to describe how thankful I am that our donors and people kind of recognized that we needed them. Yeah, this was another crisis point. Everybody was going through the crisis, of course. But those who could help really were stepping in and helping. And so I think that was another testament to the Damien Center, is that a lot of people knew of the great work we were doing, and that for a lot of our people, they don't have anybody else. They're unfortunately invisible when they are not here. People walk right past them, don't pay them attention, try to stay away from them. You know, they recognize that people having that connection is really important, not just for your health, but just for your peace of mind, you know, to be able to have a place where, you know, someone can say, hey, how are you? And really mean it, you know, and be there for you. Just know that you're not going through this by yourself. To know that you got someone else, you know, to me, again, is part of the magic, I call it, of the Damien Center. You know, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing today, no judgment. Come on in. Let's talk. Let's figure out where do we start? If you make a mistake, we all make mistakes, right? We start today and we move forward. What are we doing to move forward to make our lives better? You know, small steps.
Definitely. You know, I agree with that because, you know, there's so many humans out here who really don't have anybody. And for you guys to be able to help someone who's been diagnosed or even just someone who just needs an ear, you know, I think that's worth more than money. So that's beautiful. Okay, folks. Well, you just heard from Perry Gendulis, the executive director of the Damien Center. And they are out here changing lives. Be sure to go check them out, albanydamiencenter.org. Thank you so much, Mr. Gendulis.
Thank you so much, Erica, for having me. This was a lot of fun.